Yo, 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 what up? It's your boy, Kobe Mack, and this is the Kobe Told Me Podcast. Yo, whenever I want to, bonus pod, where I get to amplify my thoughts on whatever I want, and this time it's with whoever I want, and it's all for your listening pleasure. Would you please consider giving your boy a follow? I'm on all the socials, at Kobe Told Me, on Twitter and Instagram, and on Facebook, at Kobe Mack. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. And let me tell you about HBO's latest Insecure Season 4. But really, really, before we low-key get into things, I couldn't do this series justice talking about it by myself. So I got some of my Twitter sisters with me, sliding through with your boy, rocking the mic. Two of the dopest queens I know from the Black Girls Do Stuff 2 podcast, which they remind you that being black girls, they watch, they eat, they try, they read, they do a lot of stuff too. They talk about it all on their YouTube channel, of course on the podcast. You can check out everything they got going on at blackgirlsdostuff2.com. And of course, if you're not following them on Twitter, at blackgirlsdostuff2, that's B-L-K, girls do stuff. That's where you should follow them. We got my homegirl Tiff. You can follow her at Kyler's Green. She's just a chocolate lover, a Shark Week fanatic that sometimes watches TV. And as she says it, she's the half of the podcast where they're not trying to traumatize children. And then we also got my sister, Nick. You can follow individually at Lizzie Angel. That's L-I-Z-E-E Angel. Choosing a healthier food lifestyle is a journey that she's on. Yo, she's making food that tastes delicious. It looks damn good. And she's sharing it all with us because my girl got a book. And it's a keto full of healthy recipes. My girl, Tiff and Nick. Yeah, what up?
Hey!
Hi! That was like the best introduction I've ever
had. I felt very hyped. I liked it. I almost brushed my shoulder off a couple of times.
Oh, I was shimmying for sure.
Yo, I was telling my boy, out of, I don't know, like all the dozens of guest pods that I do every month, I was like, yo, I think I should be like a hype man for other people's podcasts.
You should. You're like, very good at it. You should open your own business. I'm sure somebody would pay you for it.
I don't think that anybody's currently doing that in this space. So if I could be the first one, the pioneer of like the indie podcast hype man, yo.
Yeah.
You could be like the DJ Khaled, a podcast.
A podcaster.
I mean, I already get, yo, you don't understand like how many times a week, it's like, you know, you like DJ Khaled. Like, no, I'm not. One, I'm not that light. Two, my beard's not that big. Three, I'm not that big. Because anytime they see a light-skinned brother with a beard, you know, like, yo,
DJ,
you
look like DJ Khaled.
And your energy, it's also your energy. Like, a lot of mm-hmm. people be like, oh, DJ Khaled is too much, but he's not. Like, he gets you going, and you
yeah.
just think, Kobe, honestly, like, another one.
Hey. Yo, I'm so glad to have you guys on. Obviously, it's been, you are the second podcasters to be on my podcast, so thank you very much for coming on. It's
thank you for
great.
Having us.
I'm glad that, you know, my edit skills have been hyped up enough, and I've been working on them to be able to have y'all come on. So this is gonna be fun, and what better conversation to have than the Insecure, Issa Rae's super hit based mm-hmm. off her own YouTube series from way back in the day, Awkward Black Girl. Quick, did y'all watch that at all? Like when it was out?
Yes.
I feel like I watched, it was one of those things that I watched and I didn't know what it was. You know how sometimes you fall into a YouTube hole and you would just watch things? And so I watched a couple episodes of that because I thought it was hilarious and I never knew what it was. It was just something that I watched one day in session. And then I saw her on TV and I was like, where do I know her from? It's because I watched her thing on YouTube.
Yeah, I definitely was a fan. I've been a fan of Issa's for a long time. She, especially like something called Awkward Black Girl, where I was like, I can relate to that. So, and that's not a way that you get to see us be characterized. Mm-hmm. And so it drew me in. And when Insecure was announced, I mean, we were hyped. Like everybody who watched the show, like my little circle, we used to tweet each other. We were like, yes, like, can you believe that? It's our whole show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because like, when I found out about, like, I've heard of that series before, and I've heard of Issa Rae kind of, like, around, like, certain industry circles. Mm-hmm. And then when Insecure came about, like, I was very much late to the party. Because, like, okay. one, like, off the bat, I thought that that show wasn't for me.
For and, women?
Yeah, right? And I think that, in a sense, it is, you know, the audience isn't for me. But at the mm-hmm. same time, I know for a fact that that doesn't mean anything because I'm talking about it now. So now I know it's real, right? But like, I didn't watch season one. I didn't watch season two. when season 3 was starting up and I was hearing how much how the culture embraced this show, I was like, okay, I cannot be that guy to kind of miss out on this, right? Like before, like, you know, I wasn't, not that I wasn't into Power, but like I was an Empire guy, right? So, and I felt like I was missing out on something because I also thought that that show, not that it wasn't for me, but just like it wasn't my cup of tea. And then I jumped onto it later and I got through like a first few episodes. I'm like, oh, this is all the way
back. Yeah, you love Power.
Yes, like that. I really abandoned Power. You did? Why?
I cut the power off.
Oh, did Tariq do it to you? Was it Tariq? Because I'm sure Tariq got a lot of people to
this was
win.
Long before that. This was like season 2. So I have this thing when I'm watching shows. If you establish kind of who a character is and what the world is, I play by those rules. Okay. And in the case of Power, they established him as being someone who thrives and lives off loyalty, is a great businessman, and which is how he got to where he is. And he was making stupid, silly mistakes, and he wasn't loyal. And I couldn't, I was like, I can't do this no more. Like, he literally would end up in a ditch because he's stupid, and I can't watch this because they're just like letting him get by. It's the same reason I stopped watching Scandal.
All of them were stupid.
I'm very
Power.
Mad at myself because like I was so hard for Scandal, and I think there's something happened around like season 4 or 5, and maybe it's like some of these shows, especially network shows, that go on for too long, where I felt like the story's getting stale and people acting so much out of their character, and I think the show lost what it was supposed to be about. But like, I was so there for Kerry Washington and her performance, seeing this black lead on a major network television show in a space where you absolutely high power job, but also acting in a way that, you know, typically like those, like defeating those Hollywood tropes by allowing to be vulnerable, by allowing to be messy, by allowing to be catty. Like, that was great to see a black woman thrive in that space, especially as a lead in her own story. And then like all this other hijinks and shit. And I think when her daddy came back, it was starting to get a lot like crazier. And I was like, all right. And it's the same thing with How to Get Away with Murder. I rocked hard for that first season.
I watched that whole thing all the way through. I wasn't letting it. I didn't care.
I didn't. I couldn't
care. But I was like, by the last season, it was the end of, okay, so this past season, and then the end of the season before, it was getting out of control. But at that point, I knew the next season was last, so I was like, all right, I'm gonna finish. With the other ones, I stopped around season 2, and I think they both went on to about 5 seasons.
Yeah, 5 or 6, something like that,
5 or 6, yeah, so.
I mean, I've got time. I really do want to, because typically, I'm a completist. So if I start a series, I don't know how long it's gonna take me to finish, but I will finish. And, you know, quickly, I lived at the movie theater before COVID, and I was at the theater 3 to 5 times a week, so my TV watching was pretty much whatever my daughter watched and whatever I watched my wife, right?
Okay.
You know, now that things have changed up, I do not get the same pleasure because I'm missing the experience from watching movies in the theater, that I'm watching so much less movies at home, but I'm getting back to some of the TV shows that I missed. So, like, all of my Arrowverse superhero stuff, blasting through that. I obviously got a chance to get on some new stuff, and then now I will find some time to finish up these 2+ seasons of Scandal, and these 3+ seasons of How to Get Away with Murder. And somehow, I said, yo, let me finally watch Insecure, right? It's 4th season starting back up. And I remember when the 3rd season, right before it came out, I said, let me try the show. And I watched the first episode, which I think is the Broken Pussy episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this shit ain't for me. But also, I had to remember, like, yo, Kobe, it takes sometimes a couple episodes or even
for a show to find their groove.
Really, exactly, to find that stride. And I will say that I powered through the first few episodes, you know, a month ago, and I was like, damn, this show is good. It's not laugh out loud funny. Like, it's not trying to be like The Office or anything like that. But I think what it does really well is that it creates a space that is unique in what's being offered on TV, especially in cable television. And Issa was able to play around with a character that is modeled after her life, but also one of my favorite shows growing up, it kind of ended up being like that. Like, I love me some Girlfriends on UPN.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was my mom's show.
Any black TV from like the time that I was born up until like, you know, the early 2000s, I probably watched most of it, right? And Girlfriends had something unique about it. Now, granted, UPN had a lot of other offerings, Moesha, you know, it had the Parkers and stuff like that, like stuff that you can remember, but like, I really loved viewing a world that I was separate from. Obviously, I'm a, you know, a preteen boy at that point in time, but like, I found something like really, really refreshing about it, and these characters very vibrant. And that's what I found inside of Insecure that as I was going along in seasons 1, 2, 3, I'm invested into the characters, I'm invested into this world and all of their shenanigans. And I love the fact that they, even though this show is about, you know, well, it's about one black woman, her best friend, and they're like her friend's group, it's not just about them being black. And I love that so much for my content.
They're just doing stupid things.
Yeah, they're doing things that are no different than any of the white shows are allowed to be able to do in those characters to be able to explore. And it's not like, and we don't call it a white show, right? Because apparently like white is a standard. And this, I don't call it a black show. These are just four women who just so happen to be black. And it's not like every episode is wrapped around with, damn, it's hard being a woman and being black.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I don't think they very rarely ever touch on that, really. Yeah. And the, like, the even the little microaggressions that they get through, it's a lot of times it's kind of glossed over, or especially when it's coming towards Issa, where she's kind of smile, not really smiles at all, but like grimaces at it, but she doesn't dwell on it, but she pauses on it enough that you notice it, and then they move on.
I would probably say that the thing that I personally like about it is, like you said, it is a just so happens to be black, and it is a situation where, you know, people can it's similar situations that people go through, but it's from their perspective, and their blackness does account for some of that, even though they don't call it out, you know. So, and it's kind of like what we do here at Black Girls Do Stuff too, like our perspective on different films and things are in a lot of ways kind of shaped by our experiences as black people, as black women, even though we don't directly call that out all the time, you know, but it definitely has an effect. And that's what I like about Insecure, because, you know, they have had full episodes where they do address their blackness and things that are going on because of that. But it's not always outside of the black community, like when Molly first went to the black law firm and having to like navigate that situation, you know. So I love it. I love the show so much.
Yeah, it's definitely different than the way that, you know, black storylines were written, especially like through a white gaze, you know. Like when, you know, one of my favorite shows growing up was, you know, Family Matters, right? Centers on a black family, but I mean, you weren't having typically black writers being, you know, contributing to these stories. It's all from their lens. And anytime that a, you know, a quote unquote black topic would run the show, it felt like there had to be this preaching or sermon at the end of it to say, hey, you know, just because we're black, we shouldn't be treated differently, right? And this entire series is not trying to, like, this series is not trying to go on the end of each episode like, hey, I'm a black woman, this is the plight of being a black woman in America. Like, it's not trying to dwell on that. And it's sometimes like, it could be. Like, they have all the latitude to make it that, but like, that's not what Issa is interested in, because she's not solely defined by her blackness, you know? She is also like a, I guess, we're in the same age bracket. We're in that weird mix of Gen X and millennial, I guess what they call Xennial. And it's an interesting place to be in right now, where you're tethered to a pre-internet world, and at the same time, this world that's changing with so much access to technology and stuff like that. And what does that look like, especially in LA that not everybody gets a chance to see, right? And I think that that's cool how much that this series brings to life this setting of Los Angeles. So, like, what were your opinions, if you guys haven't been or have, of LA before Insecure? And then now after season 4 is wrapped up, like, does the setting play into your mind any way, or like what the show did with it?
I like that. So I've been to LA a few times, and I even interviewed for jobs out there. So I was like really in the scene in LA, and you know, the parts that other people show you aren't necessarily the parts that you get to see from Insecure, right? Like, no one's saying, oh, let's go down to Crenshaw, or let's go over to Compton, or let's go over to Inglewood, or let's, you know, any of those places. They want to take you to the glitz and glamour of LA, right? And so for me, it was seeing, like, I got like just the outskirts of Inglewood. But being able to see, like, because when I move places, I look for where the black people are. So I'm like, that's the places I would have wanted to move to anyway. And I didn't get to see that when I was out there. So I like that they exposed that. And then all they do a really, really good job of highlighting the food scene in Insecure. Oh, and God, you know, I'm so into that. So
especially Issa's restaurant. They've gone to her restaurant, her actual restaurant on the show.
Oh, she's got a restaurant? See, I didn't know that. See, all the background stuff of, like, the show and, like, intermingling with the world, I'm not too familiar with, so y'all can
She's It's like a cafe. She's got a cafe. Okay. It's the they went to it. I want to say in like the second episode, her and Molly and canola.
Canola oil.
Canola.
I will say the dedication to. I think the way that a writer characterizes a name of a character, I think is really really important. And I'd be eager to try to like find out if anybody's like asked her like, you know, what made you choose these different names, right? Because like you've got Issa, you've got Molly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that it's an untraditional. You've got Tiffany, mm-hmm. you've got Kelly, mm-hmm. Condola. I'm not gonna lie, yo, I love me some Condola. Like I knew you would. Yo, I will completely like I will couch. I have a weakness for like certain light skinned women, and I know exactly where it comes from. All right, my favorite movie of all time is Coming mm-hmm. to America. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So you gotta understand that when my man went to Queens and found Lisa, and I'm at this time when I watch it, I'm 4 years old. Like the only two movies that I watch all day. My mother one day like didn't want to pay for a babysitter. She would have Harlem Nights and Coming to America, and that would cover me all day. Like yes, yo, I watched that Del Reese fight scene with Eddie Murphy like 100 times. Yo, I'm not
my favorite scene of all time.
It is. You shot my picket, so yeah, I'll shoot a picture. Yo, oh my God, I love it so much. I've seen both movies more than 100 times. So you gotta understand, Lisa was what I thought was a dream girl. I thought that was supposed to be what I'm pursuing. And then here comes mm-hmm. Christina Elmore playing Condola, and I'm like, this. She's like a doppelganger of Lisa. And I'm just like, yo, Lawrence, bro, I know you love Issa. I know you do, bro. But it's all right. But like, I think their names are so like, you know, so interesting. And like, I love the journey that we have with all these different characters. And we don't, the one thing that I would say bothers me, I mean, this season was 10 episodes. And they've typically, I think, some been ranged between 8 and 10. I usually love a 30-minute show. I don't know why this 30 minutes flies by and I feel like it's not enough.
It pisses because me off every time it ends. Yes. Yeah. Every time it ends, I throw my hands up. Like, really?
I don't know what it is. It must be the way that they frame the episodes of the editing, but something, like, I'm like, damn, like, we'll get into something really, really good, and then it's like, it's over. I'm like, shit. Like, I don't know why. Like, I feel like this needs to be, like, in that 45-minute range as opposed to 30, because it's just, I want more.
Which but I wonder if it would be as good if it was 45 minutes, though.
I think so. I think it would be because of who's behind it, but I also think that because of how it's filmed and because we find it funny, comedies usually don't go more than 30 minutes as a TV
show. Time is everything. Timing is everything.
I think that they keep it in the comedy timing, but they give us a lot of dramedy, and a lot of times when you put drama in, you just expect more time. Yeah. And I actually like that they tease us like that, and then they make us wait a year for whatever's going to happen next, and it doesn't...
Maybe more because of COVID this time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the unfortunate thing is that, you know, with everything ending, the startup is going to be really, really slow. The rest of this year, I've got no idea what to expect. I hope there's some stuff in the pipeline, but, you know, there's going to be a domino, you know, effect, and we don't really know, like, what that's going to do. But at least we got stuff to be able to go through. And you know what? This is a show that I can see myself watching again because, like, you know, you said it, Nick, that this is a big show. What impresses me so much and way more than what I gave the show any credit for going in is how this has carved out so much black opportunity on film. Cause I'm like, all right, one, you have so many day players that come into this. So many people making cameos, like this cast list is crazy. And it's like, it's giving, I mean, I lived out in Los Angeles and I did the actor thing, quote unquote, for 2 to 3 years. And it's like, I could not find an opportunity like this. Like I got lucky to get on Entourage and I pretty much just had to play like a black friend of Turtles, right? I got lucky to try to do that, but there was not a space here where it's like, hey, look at this casting call. We need 40, 50 black folks just to be with inside of a scene and stuff like that. And like, I love that. And then these random, like, what's the dude inside of, that was inside of last season who was, I guess Issa's booty call, the security guard who was also working at the airport. And one, that gave me so much purpose. Like, see, big guys can be able to get some love. Bam, bam, bam. Oh my God, I loved it. Oh, it was great. It was so, so good. You know, so I love seeing that much melanin on screen in a space where I'm like, yo, I know for a fact that there's some dudes that are going to be able to get some good work. Like, granted, I'm, you know, there's I harbor no ill will to Tyler Perry, what he's doing over in my backyard in Atlanta. I just feel like that's a different space. And it's here.
Yeah.
And everything like that. But like, you know, with what's going on in LA in this show, like, I love it for that black excellence. Like, I see an opportunity on film.
And the show has gotten progressively darker. Not in skin tone, but just in the first season, there were a lot more non-black characters because it was job and they go to school and things like that. And now it's honed in a way where they do introduce new characters, but it's still kind of more within Issa's world. Mm-hmm. And a little bit, you know, in each of the perspective characters' world, whatever storyline that they have going on for them at the time. But for the most part, it's been really encapsulated within the community. And I appreciate that too, because I think sometimes as black creators, we're encouraged to include others where others aren't encouraged to include us. You know? I appreciate that.
The fact that this show was not in the business of trying to be like a gatekeeper, it's like we're only going to permit so much. Like, I love that. That this felt like, I feel like if I played my cards right and decided to relocate back to LA, I could find a way onto the show, right? Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way, somehow. And I love feeling that about a series. But yeah, no, I mean, it's this show, I love the fact how it came around on it, like after like a little rough starting for me. And, you know, I really do take away that I'm mad at myself that I put into my head that this show wasn't for me. Because ultimately, like, I find myself in a number of characters and not just the male characters.
Right.
Like, I think I have been Issa a lot of times in my life. I've definitely been Molly a lot of times in my life. I've been Kelly way more often.
I feel like we all want to be Kelly though.
Let me say something. Yo, shout out to Natasha Rothwell.
Yes.
Before Insecure, I was like, I feel like I've seen that face before. She's done a little bit of stuff, but like obviously since I didn't watch Insecure up until like a couple months ago, and then finishing up with the fourth season, really the only thing that I saw her in was inside of Like a Boss with Tiffany Haddish and Salma Hayek and Rose Byrne.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm. It's garbage. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
You wanted to see that so bad. And I felt so bad.
I didn't want to see it. My mom wanted to see it.
Well, because I'm like, just like, you know, I support everything black, so like I will watch everything, like and obviously I'm at the theater all the time, and I'm just like, I felt like she was funny, but for some reason that movie was not able to capture her energy. And then when I see Insecure, I'm like, oh shit, why couldn't the movie like have really, like, because at first I thought that she was bad or the writing was bad, but like no, that script, which was just really bad, couldn't understand like what she was bringing, and like her character is on Insecure. Like, I love me some Kelly. Like, I love her so much. She played a teacher
on what was that movie? And it was so, she was so funny in that. What was it?
Oh, damn, you know what?
Love, Simon.
Yes.
Oh, she was a teacher.
Yeah, she was.
Funny in that.
Yeah, she was good in that too.
Yeah, she's like comedic gold, because her timing is impeccable and her delivery
is
just very her. It's very
remember me different will always be
right.
It will make me laugh every time somebody says it.
Yo, she is number, like, I really just want to watch so much. Like, if somebody listen to this knows of a supercut of all the Kelly stuff on YouTube,
I would watch it
because
it's probably on there.
It probably is, but then I don't want to go into a YouTube rabbit hole with Supercut Kelly. But like, I love these characters. Yo, Kelly is just, she's definitely one of my faves. Yo, I love me some Chad.
Oh, even though
he was never around.
I would have thought he would have been your favorite.
So, okay. In regards to the guys, I am very much Chad mixed. Like, I'm Chad mixed with Derek. You know, that is, I'm Cherick, right?
Derek has stepped up this season, because before he wasn't funny to me. This season, he's been hilarious, right down to the part where he yelled at the kids and then he took a step back and apologized.
Even though I know that this show is about Issa, especially this season, this is a show that is really breaking down the breakdown of Issa and Molly, right? Mm-hmm. And I did kind of miss in season 4 some of the other side characters. You know, that I really did enjoy, right? Like, I don't think there was any Chad in the season at all.
No, he was in like the first or second episode when Lawrence went to go talk about Condola, and he.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. He's in another show.
He was on the keto.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he's. That's my favorite scene. I forgot when he dabbed it off. He did the whole thing.
Keto now.
Oh, I need a super cut of Chad too. Yo, he is so funny.
It was gluten free because he dabbed the pizza oil. He put it on his gluten.
Oh my god, him. Yeah. I mean, yo, like. He was so good. And, like, I would like more Derek. I was surprised how, I mean, granted, you know, Amanda Seale's schedule, you know, obviously is, I mean, her star is continuing to rise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unfortunate that she had to leave, what was that, The Real? On whatever show? Yeah, The Real, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Good, because that show didn't deserve her.
No.
I would have loved some more Tiffany, but ultimately, like, this story, once again, is centered around Issa and Molly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seeing Issa's progression with her friendship with Molly, like, you know, in season one, they were rocking hard with each other. But mm-hmm. I think that as an audience, we were able to see, I don't want to say like a codependency.
Yep, maybe that's the word I would use.
I think it is. I think we were able to see an unhealthy, you know, dependency between both of them. I think that that's highlighted so much more in season four where, you know, I guess if anybody's a success, it's Molly. And I think mm-hmm. Molly liked being relied upon by Issa. And mm-hmm. as Issa was able to find more agency of her own, Molly wasn't really vibing that. Now, she wasn't doing it, like, in this direct way where, like, lashing out or anything, but it's a lot of, like, side eye and, mm-hmm. like, you know, yeah. other stuff.
I think a lot of it's internal, too, because I know people who are similar in a way. Like, I have Molly tendencies, but I always want to see my friends win, you know? Yeah. So it's not one of those things where I get jealous if they are doing better or they have relationships or whatever. But I've been in friendships with people who are like that. And I don't even think that they realize what it is because it's internal work that they need to do. They need to feel needed and they need to feel on the upper hand or upper level so that they, oh, I take care of everybody.
Yeah.
So I need to be here. Because
it gives them something to do.
Yeah, if we're on the same level, then we'll get
it. And it's not malicious. Like, I think that's what folks sometimes, like, they think it's like this malicious thing. They're doing this on purpose. No, like, I'm sure that there are things that I've done where I've been Molly-ish and, like, the way I behaved. And I think I want it both. Like, I want to see my friends win, but I also, without vocalizing it, I want to win with them. Like, I want to be a part of that, right? Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't allowed to be a part of that, I feel slighted in some way. Like, I feel like that's owed to me, right? Mm-hmm. And it's tough to, like, be confronted with that realization. And I'm glad that Molly slowly is trying to find out where she needs, like, the things that she needs to tackle in regards to operating in a safer space and healthy way of, you know, of relating to people, especially her friends that she cares about, through therapy. I was glad she went back to therapy. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and, you know, it was good because I feel like that's also why she's having such a hard time in dealing with her relationships. And it's interesting how we chronicle the men in Issa's life between Lawrence, between Daniel, between Nathan.
Go back to Nathan because Nathan, honestly,
I don't want her to go back to anybody. Get somebody new. Stop moving in the same circle. I can't do that. Get outside.
But that's also. But I also feel like that's true to real life too. Once you get to a certain age, you start, and you might not think that you're rolling in the same. Like in our age group, you kind of start.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the same circles a little bit.
I feel like
without realizing it too.
I feel like at any point, if you are. I hate to say people do things without realizing it when it comes to blatant choices, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you are hanging out with people a lot and you can clearly point to, oh, I dated this person, then I went to this person, and then I went back to this person, and then I can go back to this person, you see it. You definitely realize it. You might not want to break out of it. It's complacency, and it's comfortability. And trust me, I went to an HBCU. Everybody dates each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah,
I think as humans, though, we like things that are familiar to us, right? Mm-hmm. So I can understand the paths that each of these women have taken. I mean, you know, Issa, obviously, she was in a long-term relationship with Lawrence. And Daniel was a boot thing from the past that's always been around. And just at the right time, her and Daniel get together. And obviously that's what leads to her and Lawrence breaking up. And then we kind of move away from Daniel, which was hard, right? In like that second season, really trying to separate herself from that. And then in the third season, here comes Nathan. This this wild card. And truly, and I gotta be honest with you, this brother, you know, this actor, right? Kendrick Sampson. Mm-hmm. Like his, I feel bad for saying this, because you know, there's always that stereotype that like light skinned dudes are soft, and I've been hearing it my entire life. And I'm like, his name sounds so much harder than what he looks like, Kendrick Sampson. And I'm like, you would overcompensate with your light ass and those green eyes.
You would point
beautiful,
your toe.
You're beautiful, you motherfucker. You that nigga is like really really pretty, right?
Let me say that accent that he does for the show. I feel like he was
Isn't that his real accent? Isn't he from Texas?
He exaggerates it a little bit for the show. Okay. It's much more Houston. Trust me, I follow him on social media. Y'all know I be listening.
I think the first time I saw him, he was the adopted brother inside of the second season.
Not Scandal. How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I like this dude. Okay.
First time I saw him was Vampire Diaries, because he plays one of their college friends that, of course, gets killed because the black man never lived in that show.
That is very, very true. I remember that. Yo, Vampire Diaries, my shit. I still have not finished season 5 or 6.
I didn't finish Vampire Diaries. I finished the originals, though. The originals was my ish. I love it.
Shout out to Marcel. But yeah, but like Nathan's cool, and I do like the fact that this show did a great job at not trying to rush anything. There was this mystery to Nathan, and I think that we all were probably led to believe that he's leading this double life, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not being all the way honest, but it was a great reveal. It's like, you know, I am battling something.
Timeless. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was interesting that it wasn't, how do I want to say this? Like, it wasn't a big thing, like, oh, we need to go into one of those episodes where, like, this is
a very special episode.
Yeah, right? Like, it wasn't trying to be that, because this is just stuff that people have to deal with, right? Mm-hmm.
And like, it's still a new thing in the black community, because we still are very uncomfortable with talking about mental health. It's almost like because we grew up in a certain way where we were taught that you kind of have to be tougher because life is going to be harder for you. So when you're sad, you kind of just have to suck it up, because that's life. And if you keep feeling continuous sadness, then you need to kind of almost ignore it and tuck it away and go about your business. So I liked the fact that they highlighted mental illness in the black community, and the fact that we too suffer from it the same way that white people or Asian people or everybody else does, more, because we deal with a lot of things daily basis.
Yeah, and I also like, I like what Tiff said, and also like, I think that in general, when it comes to speaking on mental health and putting it in shows, you don't always need a deep dive, because I think that sometimes for people hearing, like, I like Molly's therapy sessions, right? Because she's working on herself. Her issues are very personal. Yeah. For what Nathan was going through is something that a lot of people go through, and I don't know, it's something about, oh, I heard what they said, I'm going to apply those rules, I'm not going to go for myself. Does that make sense? So it's like, oh, he went and dealt with it, I wonder what he had to talk about. Maybe I should contact somebody, you know, to figure that out. So I like that.
I think it's done so gracefully in all the different things that happen to our community that we're afraid to embrace. Like, you know, I remember when I was a kid and I heard the term bipolar, I was like, yo, mom, can I be bipolar? My grandmother chimed in, well, if you're bipolar, go get a coat. Maybe you need to get warmer or something like that. Like, we just don't have a concept of what that is. Like, I remember being laughed off that we cannot afford to have mental illness. Like, we already have so many other disadvantages. That's white people shit that we cannot have, right?
Yep, 100%.
But ultimately, it's a dumb thing. And like, I'm glad that we're in a space now to understand, like, that's dumb. Like, people like are battling a lot of things. Like, the way the society has progressed, we cannot do this on our own. As a Christian man, I cannot do this on my own. I have to submit myself, you know, to my Father in heaven. And at the same time, I have to recognize that doesn't mean I'm praying it away. Like, no, I have to submit myself to my Father in heaven. Hey. And he puts resources in place to be able to get me that help, you know?
I tell people all the time, like, God helps those who help themselves.
Yeah.
You know? They say faith without works is dead, so that means you have to do the work in order to do it. So, look, y'all already know, I'll turn into a preacher on here real quick. Especially when it comes to people justifying things like, oh, you can't have depression, that's a bad spirit, or you can't have this, that's a bad spirit, because generationally, the generation that raised us, I really think it's the last generation to avoid, but they were also the first generation to kind of take that step to say, oh, let's go ahead and get mental health. And as the generations go, like, the kids that will raise will know, hey, you want to go talk to somebody? That's absolutely okay. Mm-hmm. I have apps on my phone, and where if I need to talk to somebody, I can just hit them up real quick, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's important.
It really, really is. And I love that this show is embracing all of these norms that we grew up with in our generation, mm-hmm. and trying to combat those and not doing it in a very overt way. The fact that we have a character in Tiffany that is battling postpartum depression, mm-hmm. and I do not believe that it ever comes up as saying Tiffany's got this thing going. Like,
nope.
It's, but we, mm-hmm. we saw it from the when third they were season. At the,
from Dump, yeah. Really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You saw it in the first episode when they were talking about the baby, where she was just very uninterested.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. saw it at the block party when she made that comment about just leaving the baby. Yeah. And like little things that she would say, like if you were paying attention, it kind of made you pause. Like, is she okay? Are they not noticing?
Nobody was picking up on it. And yeah. I felt like it was done just enough where I could pick up on it. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. at what point is Derek going to step in? At what point is Kelly Gordon going to step in? And Issa and Molly are in their own little world with yeah. everything that's going on, mm-hmm. that they have ignored their friend. Like, Tiffany
well,
could feel
actually,
very
a couple times throughout mm-hmm. the season, each character, at least most of them who were like in her circle and close to her, asked her, are you okay? And then yeah. they dropped yeah. it. But they yeah. act, and then she's like, oh yeah, I'm fine. Because that's what happens a lot of times yeah. as a new mom, especially as a new black mom. You don't want to say, hey,
I'm struggling.
I'm yeah. sad about this kid. Like,
you know, I've spoken to women about that. That is a very debilitating thing to admit, that this thing that has been growing inside of you that you love,
you're not connected to
at the
to
same
them.
Time, you feel this detachment with. Mm-hmm. And you feel like something must be broken inside of me. You don't know what to do. And the fact that we had that, I think it was like what the last episode, you know, mm-hmm. tackling mm-hmm. that, you know, that's really powerful, especially the episode we came off before. It's interesting the way that this season is kind of wrapped everything up, because mm-hmm. I think we're in a much better place with our principal friendship between Issa and Molly, right? Mm. I say a much better place than a fight outside of a block party.
I don't know if it's a much better place. I think it's the same issues, just in a different way, because we talked about those codependencies, and mm-hmm. it took them both losing what they had to come together, really on Molly's side, because Issa was trying. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so that, to me, isn't necessarily in a better place. That's just kind of a starting back over, you know?
So this is not much growth at all.
Until I see what the conversation is, mm-hmm. I really don't think that it's growth yet, because you can have there's a difference between, you know what, I need to talk to my friend because that's who I know that this relationship means a lot to me. And I need to talk to my friend because that's the person I want to call, because I'm used to that when things aren't going great for me. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a difference there. So
back to that familiar.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it's not just friendships. It could be an ex, like, oh, things aren't. Here's something I'm very familiar with. It's a certain cycle that I'm going through. Let me call this person that I relate to that part of this cycle. But if I don't keep that person in this part of the cycle, do you get what I'm saying? So, like, has she not broken up with Andrew? Would she have called Issa? Because Issa had been trying, you know. Mm-hmm. So I won't know until the conversation picks up and we see what happens, but I'm skeptical.
Okay. And see, I kind of saw it as more of the whole thing with Tiffany coming up, and then her and Derek talking in front of them, saying like, we haven't been communicating, or I haven't been paying attention, or like, we've just kind of blocked each other off, kind of a thing, kind of opened her eyes to the things that her boyfriend had been saying to her, that her therapist had been saying to her. I felt like that situation kind of drilled things that people have been saying to Molly all season home for her, and it took her that, for seeing her friend in that position, for her to go, well, maybe I do need to take a step back and evaluate my relationships with people and figure out what is important to me and Issa. And she decided Issa was important to her.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think those are both like really good points, because I can see it on both ways. It's an interesting space to be in. It's an interesting space to kind of leave the season off of, because I think folks mm-hmm. would want a little bit more. Like, I think for the most part, what the sentiment that I hear is that, yo, Molly is in the wrong, and Molly needs to open up her eyes to at least Issa is trying. I think Issa mm-hmm. has kind of reconcile of some of her behaviors that are immature, quote unquote, not being a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
But because the show is mainly from her perspective, we get that. Like, we can see it. And Molly can't see it. Like, all she, like, unfortunately, what Molly keeps seeing is Issa using or Issa needing and Issa, mm-hmm. Issa, right? And Molly don't see, like, yo, Molly, she's definitely problematic in a lot of ways and how she deals with guys. And I did not think that, I did not think that her and Andrew would ever be a thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised that it went on this long.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, he was just a guy that we met at the, you know, at Coachella, right? And I'm
just
like, oh, this is gonna come in and out, just like mm-hmm. every other guy that Molly's been with.
Especially since he was Asian, because that was a thing too. Because she got hit on by one of Issa's old coworkers that was Asian, and she was like, I would never date an Asian guy.
Right.
Like that was like a thing.
I remember
in one
that.
Of the earlier seasons.
Yeah, so, yeah, sometimes when you get that good thing, you do mean, things that you wouldn't have done. Okay.
Yo, but Andrew's cool. Like, he had it put together. He was a good guy.
He was good for her. I could see he was getting tired of her. That was one of the things I will say that I knew was going to happen at the end of the season. I figured he was going to dump her because she was too ugly.
I don't know why.
I did. I saw it especially with his brother thing because he makes a very good point. Like, this is my brother. Are you just, like, not going to try? He's trying.
Yeah.
To make it up to you, like he's trying to give you to pass on the olive branch, so that you two can repair. Kind of like you don't have to like him, kind of a thing. But he's my family. You have to at least try to be to be cordial.
Yeah.
If you're gonna be with me, you're gonna be with him.
Yeah,
like we're a package deal.
And I think people sometimes have that, like they think cordial means like let me just ignore them. Like no, that is not cordial.
No,
like, that's
not.
That you are being antagonistic by like the effort that you would put into saying hello to somebody. It takes that much effort and more to ignore somebody's existence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to be in a relationship with somebody,
like it's real easy to ignore people. I'm also a recovering person who will completely act like somebody doesn't exist to me. So I'm like, it's real easy. Actually.
You don't think that takes energy?
No, not really. Because
for
me, like, I get what you're saying, because at this point now, I can say hello, be in a room, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Many people who will hear this will be a witness. One of my ex's friends, I don't care if I walked past him, he was on fire. I would act like I didn't see him because of just who he was. And so I've been in places where I'll speak to the group. I'll be like, hey, everybody, how you doing? But I never talk to him individually. I never look at him. You know, it's like he's not even in the room. You know what I mean? So,
and it does that cordial?
That was cordial back then.
Okay.
But even now, like if I was to see him and we were in a group, I would still address the group and everything, but I would go out of my way to talk to him. If he talked to me, I would, you know, hello, and I would move away. Like,
Simply
being cordial is not causing problems in a group setting. Because there's no reason we would be one-on-one. If I feel like I have to be cordial with you, there's no one-on-one. But if we're in a group setting, nobody has to know we have problems.
Yeah.
That's
what
cordial is to me.
Yeah.
I think, you know, with Andrew's brother, though, if you are in this relationship, and they never really try to express like terms of like, you know, hey, where is this going? And I think, you know, for us being in like, you know, our early to mid-30s, we're at a place where it's like, yo, this can't just be some like really fun ish, right? Like what's the plan? And I think there's a right time to kind of have that conversation. The one thing that I'll say with all these seasons, sometimes I feel like I'm missing a lack of like how much time has passed. So I really don't know where we are in the span of how people are relating to one another until somebody makes it a point to kind of bring it up. So that'd be like a little nitpick that I have like in the series overall. It's kind of like that lack of concept of time, but I feel like Andrew and Molly were putting in some good work and like, you know, going on that trip, you know, to Mexico. And it looked really, really great, that little Molly episode. And, you know, and I get where she was coming from. I feel like she could have been a bit more delicate, you know, like, cause it's not like this is the first time you handle this and stuff like that. And like,
yeah,
like, that's your dude's brother. Like, I'm not gonna say this is something you just gotta take on the chin. And like, that was funny. We are not gonna do this again, right? And like,
and if
he is extending out that olive branch, I think you should go.
Oh, for sure.
And take it, you know.
When it's like family stuff, you have to bite the bullet. Like, I'm like Issa in a sense of I was in a very long-term relationship, right? And you deal with people that you don't want to deal with. that come attached to the person, right? Mm-hmm. So in that case, I don't even think you can be cordial with them. You have to have some, if they're a close person, you have to have like a working relationship is what I call it. It's like, hey, how you doing? How's the weather? Demand, that's crazy. All right, I'll see you later. You can because you can't just be cordial. You have to interact with them. Mm-hmm. And in Molly's case, I think this really pointed out part of her personality of like, I have to be right and have this word. Like, you mm-hmm. have to see my point of view or that's it, you know? And she was very much in the right for feeling disrespected, and he was very much in the wrong the way he was handling it.
Mm-hmm. But and his wife even told him.
Right. She was mm-hmm. not playing the long game, because the long game is Andrew. Yeah. And you cannot have discord with his brother and think that it's going to work out for you when they get along. It's not like mm-hmm. they had a bad relationship, you know? Yeah. So...
Yeah. It's just and then to think how caught off guard she was by it. And then unfortunately, you know, with Molly's character, when she gets caught off guard by something, she gets very defensive. Mm-hmm. And then it turns to like, damn, like you're almost kind of proving Andrew's point. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, it's interesting that it kind of went that way. And then it's like now another guy that she's lost. And I think she's cheated herself out of some really great potential dudes. Like even, yo, what's the homeboy's name who's married? And like, he just completely disappeared.
Dro,
right? Mm-hmm. When his wife disappeared, she ain't come back no more. I think of her name.
That's because Dro was living that life outside of Insecure, so he ain't come back no more.
So, yeah. Okay, so, all right. I felt like I heard something about that. So he was messing with somebody on the show?
Tasha. Yeah, the girl who played Tasha.
Lawrence is the bank girl. That yeah.
Lawrence, oh, gotcha. Yeah. Man, Tasha disappeared too. Okay, mm-hmm. gotcha.
They both had to go. They showed that, you can't keep them tight. No. Oh. All circles, no squares. No.
No, I mean, I think like it was an interesting relationship. I don't know, because we never had it confirmed from Dro's wife. Like, is he like are they an open marriage? Yeah. Because he said it. He
doesn't
moves
mean
like
it was true.
Doesn't mean that, yeah, right.
And really to be honest, I feel like it anytime. Sorry, Kobe. I don't believe you. I don't believe you, man, for telling me that you have an open relationship.
I don't either.
Show me the receipts. I need a contract. Until I hear it from
you. Unless your wife tells me. Yeah.
Right. She better have a signed card. This certifies as proof mm-hmm. that my husband's in an open marriage. I don't even know who you are, but here's this card.
Right.
And even then, I probably wouldn't, because probably that's some drama I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, hey, to each their own. We are living in a brand new world, but right. you know, relationships are obviously like really difficult to navigate. And Molly's had her troubles, and obviously Issa has. You know, Issa, kind of like with Molly, she may have cheated herself out of some really good potential men. I don't think that Daniel, not that he wasn't a good fit, but Daniel needed to like deal with some shit mm-hmm. on his own to really like be compatible with Issa. And Issa was in a place where she was still vulnerable and still trying to heal herself from the hurt that she gave to Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the hurt that she experienced by being in a relationship probably longer than what they needed to, without trying to fully, you know, tackle the things in their relationship mm-hmm. that were making both of them unhappy. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Lawrence, you know, played by Jay Ellis, he's a character that I find, like, I don't feel like I relate to him in a lot of ways. Like, I am confident what I say, whatever's on my mind, like I say, if I'm unhappy about something, I will like, you know, broach it in like as delicate a way as possible. To be betrayed in that sense, only because that's a frustrating thing for any guy. Like mm-hmm. one, as much of a double standard and unfair this is, when a woman betrays their partner sexually, it cuts real, real deep. Because typically women are not wired that way, is what, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of folks would
be. Is what y'all but, think, right.
Yeah,
true. Yeah. This is how we've been raised. We've been socialized to believe that, right? And it does hurt so much more, because as men, we're conquerors. And to feel like that some man conquered a woman that was mine, like, makes it, you know,
It's a masculinity thing.
It really, really is. And, you know, granted, this brother is, I mean, he's been through it. The fact that he has, you know, progressed and found a good job, but the job kind of stunted him. And, you know, he was almost like just the token black guy in his own company. You know, he had himself a little honey, a little brown chick. What was her name? Something.
Piranha. Yeah.
I call her Piranha. Damn! Yo. And like, he's moved around. I mean, he ended up getting an STD. Yo, he's been through it.
Yo, out there getting hot and fast. Okay.
Oh my gosh. She was just out there. I love how this show embraces the nudity, because it's like, there's not a lot of black shows that shows black bodies in sexual ways. I'm like, yeah. Oh.
And not just black bodies in all shapes and sizes, because I mean, TSA Bay, again, hey, with Pervy.
Yeah, you know, it was great. Shout out to brothers that look like me. I'm like, this ain't dropping them draws. You know? And but I'm glad that Lawrence is in a place where, like, he's got it together. And I will say, you know, in season 3, when he goes to that baby shower, and I'm like, there goes Condola. And the moment that they start, I'm like, oh, I see exactly where this is going. I mean, at the end of season 3, I really did not agree with the way, like, I can get how Condola can feel some type of way, right?
Yeah.
About the relationship, you know, the old relationship between Lawrence and Issa and stuff like that.
It's awkward.
It is awkward, right? And I think it's fine to be awkward. She could have handled it a little bit better in that professional sense with helping out with the block party and everything, right?
I agree.
I'm still a little bit torn now where Issa is faced with this big decision. Like, I'll ask this question. You know, I think one of the strongest episodes inside of season 4 was their reconnection episode. It was probably the most romantic.
I did.
I smiled the whole time.
From the part where she hit the floor and stayed on the floor to his
because it really showed, like, one thing I can say after dating somebody for 10 years and it not working out and then now being friends, there's a friendship that you build with someone that you're not going to meet somebody else who's going to share that history with you.
Yeah.
So even if it's not a romantic thing, you guys are always connected. You're always going to have love for each other. And those jokes come out because you know who that person is.
And you'll have a natural shorthand. You know,
yeah, and so I smiled so hard during that episode because I was just like, look at them, like, they are so cute.
They're so,
like,
cute.
Right, like, even if they didn't hook up in the episode or anything, I still would have been like, they are so cute, and it's good to see them be able to be friends, because when you date somebody for that long, even when, if it doesn't end, I mean, with their case, she doesn't have me too, even mine, you hurt, but then eventually when you come back to it, you're like, dang, that really is my friend, though.
Yeah. Like,
so it's nice to be able to see them come back to that, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a really, and I think, you know, folks got really pissed that after that episode, we kind of get like this, like, it's undone, right?
That is.
But it's funny that, you know, each episode, this one was titled Low-Key Happy, right? And it was a beautiful, do you know who wrote that episode?
Wasn't that,
Kelly.
Kelly did that one. Oh, no, the one before that was
Carrie.
Was that Jay Ellis?
No, Carrie Underwood, and then the Molly.
No, Carrie.
Carrie Washington. I was trying to give you that much. I didn't even think Carrie.
I appreciate it, because I think Carrie Underwood, like, she had anything to do with Insecure.
That would be hilarious.
Wow. That's awesome.
No, I mean, I think it's great how all the different, you know, guest directors come in. I mean, you got Prentice Penny, you know, Jay Ellis, Melina Masoudis was up in here. Obviously, you got, like, Issa doing some stuff. Like, it's really great seeing all of these different creatives be able to jump on and just add their perspective in these really unique and small ways, but still the show feels
very cohesive,
all connected.
Yeah.
It really, really does. And, you know, that episode where you kind of, because I think we've all had it in, like, different, you know, parts of our relationship where you can just reflect on the things that make you happy. Mm-hmm. And this is years, you know, at this point, after, you know, Lisa's, you know, Lisa, goodness gracious, after Issa's infidelity, right? And I think that they're both in a place where, like, it wasn't, like, forced, right? Like, it's not like, you know, nobody was trying to, like, you know, devilishly, like, try to, like, get back with it. Just kind of happened.
Yeah,
the timing was just
perfect,
right? And they just kind of indulged in, listen, we're not going to specify what's going to happen. Can we just, like, for this night, just kind of, like, you know, entertain each other with, you know, the good stuff, right? Because I think that, you know, when relationships end, and, like, you know, you were just saying, it, like, there's still good there. Like, I do not believe that in any relationship that ends badly, that while your emotions say the bad outweighs the good, there was still a lot of good there, and that doesn't disappear. You know,
and
if you're in a healthy space, exactly. If you're in a healthy space where you guys can be able to acknowledge that and it doesn't gloss over the mistakes that you've made, I think it's great to be able to share that with a friend. Because ultimately, before y'all were dating, hopefully y'all were friends or like friendly.
Or as you started dating.
While you were together.
As you started dating, you were friends. And I truly believe that, like, even, you know, even though this happened or whatever, whether Issa and Lawrence stay together or not, they can still have, they still will have this time, even this second time together, to know that, you know what, in another day, in another life, this could have
worked out. But
or
it just
maybe it does work. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe. I mean,
it wouldn't work for me, but, you know,
it wouldn't work for
it
me.
Wouldn't, so, okay, that it wouldn't work for you. So a baby.
Nope.
And it's not even so much just the baby. It's a bunch of different things. It's the fact that he is about to move to San Francisco. So the long-distance aspect.
Yeah.
If he still goes.
She seems very content with that. Like, she, without him offering, she's like, oh, that seems like a quick flight.
Yeah.
Because so it's like, a long-distance relationship is one thing. A child is another. Because even
you're
if
dealing
they're
with
not,
another person.
Yeah, it's another person that knows you. It'd be one thing if it was some, oh, the ex that I was dating, you don't know her, whatever. I had a relationship with Condola. She stopped talking to me. We stopped being friends out of nowhere. Clearly this was because of you, and now you're having a baby, and I'm back with her after I talked to her while you were with her, so she probably thinks I was in it. Like, it's a lot.
It's definitely messy.
It's very, very messy. So that situation for me wouldn't work. And honestly, I'm at the point in my life right now where if I want to have a baby, I can bust one out, right? So, like, I'm not willing to.
Oh, that hurts.
It was.
You know, it's funny that in that conversation, Issa never said, well, like, this man who I do love, that is something, that's an experience I wanted to share and have for myself.
Yeah.
And like, no one, like, because, and I'm surprised that the conversation to go, and maybe that's where it does go in season five. It's like, in her decision, I don't want to say the decision is between her and Nate, because like that's not. I don't think he personally, I don't think that he should be on the table. I don't know what he adds to her. I'll put it that way.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like there's something that Lawrence can add to this, and maybe it's because, you know, of their past, but like, there's nothing that I see that like Nathan is able to offer.
Encourages her in a way, because he was the reason why she even did the block party in the first place, because he hyped her up enough to do that. And then when she needed his help, even though she ghosted him, and she was like, he was very willing to help her out. And even and then he also gave her that space in the back of his barbershop. Like, he's very much Issa's biggest fan, and I think that's his contribution to their relationship. And I think she does need that, because I don't think that she doesn't seem to have like a cheerleader, if that makes sense, because Molly wasn't even a cheerleader for her, and Kelly and Tiffany even pointed out, girl, we didn't even think you were going to be able to do this, and she was like, you told me. So
I agree with that a cheerleader is nice, but I also agree with, as far as a relationship, it's good to have that in your corner. Of course it's great to have that in a relationship, but Nathan has his own issues that are new to him right now, that he has to fully grasp before you add somebody else into a situation, because it's new to him. And I'm not saying that he can never be in a relationship, obviously he can, You got to get that under control for you. You know what I mean? Because just like with any issue that anybody has, even if it's mental health or whatever, get yourself together before you go. Bring 100% of yourself. You don't need somebody else to complete you.
Yeah.
There are two whole people who should be coming to the table. You know what I mean?
I think that would be an interesting thing to explore too, though, as for two Black people on TV, is them being in a relationship where one of them has a mental illness, and how do you handle that? Because that's not something that we're brought up giving any credence to, if that makes sense. So how do you open up to that? How do you adapt to that,
right,
given your upbringing?
I like that, but I don't want it to be at the expense of Issa, if I'm being honest. I just feel like Issa has not had a chance to have happiness yet. Like, not for real. And if that's happiness just with herself, that's fine, but I want Issa to be happy. She was getting trash sex a lot of the time. She was getting trash dudes a lot of the time.
What was the dude downstairs in her old apartment?
Right. A lot of it's just been trash. And then you got Lawrence out here flourishing, having threesomes, doing this and that, and STD, like, come back. STD careful so he can go back and host more. Like, he was winning. I want Issa to win.
That's very, very interesting. So, in kind of wrapping up season four, right? Mm-hmm. We know where everybody's at. The kind of crossroads that Issa and Lawrence are at. Mm-hmm. Condola saying, yo, like, I have every intention of having this child. You know, I'm in a place where, you know, I didn't want that before and I want it now. And
what were your thoughts on that? Like, having a baby with somebody who you're not, especially since she made that point earlier in one of the episodes that mm-hmm. her ex-husband wanted children and she didn't want to have children with him. So it's like, yeah. What? I didn't understand what, you know, yeah, why Lawrence?
Yeah, that I don't know if it's a why Lawrence, because obviously it's an unplanned pregnancy, yeah. Right? And I believe it's weird coming out of my Christian mouth. I believe in choice
because yeah,
God gives us choice, mm-hmm. right? And we have to live with that, right? And she didn't have to spell it out. Like she said, like I'm keeping this baby. Like, and it didn't have to be something that had to be harped on and turned into one of those, you know, issue episodes mm-hmm. that you get from other shows, right? Like, this isn't an episode that's about abortion and the choice of how you have it. It's just, we are not even together. Like, that presents a whole different dynamic mm-hmm. that from the start of this pregnancy, the way in which I relate to you, like, one, for any man, we do not build that connection and bond to a child until they're born.
Yeah.
We're already behind, you know, the eight ball from that standpoint in regards to like how, you know, we're going to parent, where a woman builds up that bond from the mm-hmm. jump. And, you know, I'm not too sure how long it's been since, you know, her divorce from her husband. And if she's at that place, all I can do is respect it. Is it unfortunate? Absolutely. But it takes two to tango, and we did not practice safe
Clearly.
Sex. And this is something yeah. that we had to be Trash. Aware of, you know, that this is, you know, that this was a possibility. He was so unaware of it. He was completely shocked,
yeah.
you know, by it.
I never understand, and, like, okay, interjection. Why
go ahead.
Are dudes so surprised when they don't use a condom? And it's like, guess what? I'm pregnant. They're like, what? It's a
pregnant. Okay. I have been married. I celebrated 9 years of marriage last week, right? And I can count on my hand, even before marriage, the times which I've had unprotected sex. And you best believe that I was never unaware when I did it, right? Like it's not what, and it's, and as much people think like, oh, the condom broke, bullshit. That does not happen, okay? Either you don't know what you're doing and you shouldn't be having sex. Condoms are like, they stay on, I mean, okay? For the most part.
It's a reason why it's 99.999% effective, okay? Yes. Because if I tell you some stories that I've had, and if I finish to stay child-free in these streets, anybody.
So yes, I mean, you know, to be that caught off guard, like I can point back, like, I don't know, like, because I've had it, like, yo, there's this one night, I don't know, bro, like, but like that'll be in the back of my head until I get that call, mm-hmm. right? Like until like a, she's like, oh, you know, I was a little late. Oh, did you take the test? Whoo,
right.
Like, yeah. Right. And like, listen, yo. Practice ASAP. That's all I can, like, you know, say yes. there. But like sometimes when you feel close to someone, like I'm not gonna lie and sit here and say like having sex with a condom is better than it's not. No, the fuck it isn't. Like it's,
and
it's,
I mean, and when I
so
say
much better.
I don't just mean like him wearing mm-hmm. it. She clearly wasn't on anything either. But it seems like the conversation yeah. wasn't had, or like most guys, they think that their pullout game is awesome and the joint is trash. It's
let me tell you something. Anybody who think like look, that pull-out game, you are risking it.
Yeah.
And like you should always be like, that is not a good
I mean, we learned in health class.
There's brothers
right. Know, it's not just at the end that you have to worry about. It's right. all throughout. It's all coming out yes. all throughout.
You know how many friends and friends or people from college that I know who are like, bro, it was like a 2-pump chump and now I'm pregnant. It doesn't matter. Hey,
that's all it takes.
That's it.
That's all it takes, man. You know, I mean, no, but honestly, I think he's in a unique position, and personally, I think that there should be more, what's the word? More ownership into the conversation that's had. Like, I understand that this child, I mean, just because of biology, is growing inside of a woman's body. I do believe that there should be more stock put into what the co-parent, you know, has to say about that. Ultimately, the decision lies, you know, with, in this instance, you know, Condola. And, you know, going forward, I believe she's going to...
She'll have it.
Like, she's going to go through and have this baby. And I think that what's probably going to end up happening is that Lawrence is not going to take
this
job.
I didn't think so either. I think he's going to stay around. You know,
he is going to stay around. And that complicates things for Issa. Because it may have been different if he's choosing to take this position. There's some distance between her and him as she says, hey, I really cannot deal with this. Like, I am not in a good space with my renewed feelings for you that have now been complicated because of a new dynamic that would be in a relationship. I believe blended families work. Shit, I come from one. My wife isn't.
You know,
they do work, but that does take time. Mm-hmm. And I think that people need space and distance to really understand what matters most to them. As of right now, having Lawrence as a part of her life, she can't have that right now until everything kind of works out with how he's going to, you know, one, how he's going to nurture Condola in this space where she's going to be doing, because he has a responsibility to her to be able to give her attention, to give her aid, to give her support while this baby is preparing to be able to enter into this new life. And then Issa, like you mentioned, Nick, I think that her goal should be, like, you know, the rest of this time is to be the best version of her that's not dependent upon a best friend, that's not dependent upon a man. And, like, how do I take the next steps in flourishing this business of doing more community events? And I think that should be, I mean, granted, she's going to have, like, you know, some little hijinks and little sexcapades and stuff like that.
I mean, she should be living her life, right? Like, because you are, here's one thing that I want to push, and I hope that they focus on this more, and they did a little bit, but you are your own, you have agency over yourself, right? Like, this isn't the 50s anymore. This is 2020. Yeah, I might be 30 plus. I might not be looking for a relationship right now or a child or whatever, but I still want to go and get my groove back. So I'm going to do that. And she's free to do that. And I, like you said, being her best self, her statement saying, like, this is too much. In that moment, it was, and I felt that for her, because it's different of meeting somebody who has a baby, right, than being with somebody who you love and they're having a baby, even if it wasn't, even if it wasn't while you were together, but having a baby with somebody else, and you know the person that they're having the baby with, and y'all have a history. It's just, it's a lot. It's asking a lot of one person. And I personally, like, you know, whatever she does, I'm going to be interested to see how it goes. But I personally just hope that she's like, you know what? I'm doing me. I don't want anybody. And if she falls in love, it's that whirlwind love that comes out of nowhere, you know? Somebody brand new.
I mean, we got space for a brand new somebody. You know, I'm pretty sure there's other brothers that are around working in Hollywood that can kind of come through. So, I mean, I'm excited for this next season, whenever it decides to come out. You know,
2023?
I don't think it's going to make it in time. I hope the hell not. It's going to be tough.
I don't care if they do this on Zoom. They better bring it back next summer.
I mean, yo, I need these creators to get creative. Yeah. Like, there are a number of resources available that should not be stunted just because we can't be in a physical space. I mean, shit, I remember when I was out in L.A. and I was using my DV camera to do little episodes in my apartment. Like, we can do some stuff. People can throw away the quality, whatever. HBO's got
money.
Let's make
it.
And now also Hollywood's open again.
They're slowly opening up.
I saw a video of somebody on a complete green screen with like four props in the room. And they're so, they can do whatever they want to do with that thing.
Yo, they sure enough can. I mean, and obviously the show has carved out a unique space in Black culture, just in pop culture, to be honest with you. And like, now there's so many other shows that are kind of like in the same vein. I mean, HBO Max just dropped a new show, Love Life, you know, with Anna Kendrick. And it's pretty much like the white girl Insecure. You know, I find it to be really cute, but I understand that there are folks that if Anna Kendrick isn't your thing, which I don't understand why it shouldn't be your thing, then there's folks that really didn't like the first few episodes that have been out. But it is very much in that same Insecure vein, a woman who is trying to find herself and is leaning on her friends. And then, interesting, this particular story goes back and forth in time. So it's kind of got this How I Met Your Mother vibe to it. But I like it. I think it's cute. You know, I don't think that Anna Kendrick is doing anything like completely different than she's ever done. Like, I mean, some people are like, oh, Anna Kendrick goes for it. Oh, you know, Anna Kendrick, she like masturbates, but like you don't see anything. Like, oh, she got some titty meat out, but like that's it. Like, you know, it's whatever. Like, I mean, you know, it's there. Like, that's fine. You know, but yeah, no, I mean, I want to watch more. Like, what this show did make me do as well at the end of watching, I was like, yo, I need more of this type of content in my life because I'm not watching enough of it. Yes, I watch Atlanta, but like, where's that?
Yeah, I was gonna say because I know they were overseas supposed to be filming it, and I'm not sure if coronavirus kind of messed that up or not. But that's a show that I also really enjoy too, that, you know, it's kind of in a vein of like comedy but drama and current issues and things that I really love and appreciate as well.
I want like 4 or 5 of these. Mm-hmm. And I will say I am tempted at some time this summer to at least try the free trial of BET Plus. Mm-hmm. Because I, you know, I've heard of people talk about 20s, which I think is on.
Yeah, 20s is great. Mm-hmm.
And I think Christina Elmore's on that show, so I think that's attracting me out more to try to give it a shot. And like, I've heard some good things about Boomerang. Well, I've heard some things about good. Boomerang.
That's on BET as well. So,
cool. Yeah. So like, I feel like one, as a black man, I should be investing into that. I have all these other streaming services that I need to be able to give these others a shot, right? And I'm willing to be able to do that. And I'm glad that Insecure has open up my eyes to say, yo, I am missing a lot of black content like this in my life, and I feel like I need to add that more. So, you know, I'm excited to see where this season goes, how Molly will finally grow.
I hope she finally does. She's been having the same issue since season 1. Grows.
Mm-hmm. Because, and that's probably my skepticism of her and Issa's conversation. I don't believe it. I know that because she has recognized in the past that she's had issues, but she hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. So seeing the Tiffany and Derek situation to me is like, dang, that's messed up. Well, it ain't me though.
I wonder. I think it was our friends over on Off Screen Babble that I think they were talking about Molly. Like, yo, she's just like this. She's like this in a plot point because like she really has not grown like at all. You know, and I can kind of see it. Like, I mean, I want to give the character a little bit more than that. But like, yo, Yvonne Orji, I haven't got a chance to catch her stand-up special. Mm-hmm. It was good.
It was funny. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, no, I definitely need to be able to do that. I mean, give me some more Kelly. Yo, give me a Kelly spinoff. I have no idea what it'd be like. You know, Kelly and Amal should be like forced to like, you know, live together somehow. I don't know why. Should, like, work together. Like,
just... They would kill each other.
Oh my
that would
God.
End up being the new murder mystery of Insecure. What happened to Amal and Kelly?
What happened to Amal and Kelly? Oh my gosh, like that is good. I'm really, really enjoying the show. I'm glad that it's opening my eyes because of this. I don't know why. Like, I was like, yo, I'm gonna go watch Pose because it was also
it's on my list
that I thought was not for me, right? I thought it wasn't for me, and I think that was very foolish of me because I just binged the first two seasons, and I can't. Love that it's not what I really respect the show, and I think it's good. It's not the greatest acting, but that show is not like trying to be like it's not that, right? I think it's very experimental, and I think that it's extremely representational. And because I'm such a big fan of Ryan Murphy, I understand how his mind works in trying to like one. He's the type of story guy where he just believes in like good vibes and representation, and like trying to present the most idyllic version of something. Which is fine, like that. Which is great. Like, I think that we need that. We don't need to, like. I know how shitty it was for underrepresented and marginalized groups in the 80s. Like, I don't need to have that kind of reminder. So he kind of wants to not necessarily have a revisionist version of that, but saying like, I can be able to show the bad with like the, you know, the beautiful good, and not only the good that can come from that in that particular scene, like in that ballroom scene. It is fun. You know, shout out to India Moore. I think that she is incredible.
Yeah, she's great. She's really great.
I want to see some more stuff.
Queen of Sugar.
What is that? Yo, the little bit that she was on screen with Queen of Slim, I was like,
I like her.
It is insane. Yeah, she's really, really good. She's come a long way.
Oh, speaking of black shows, since Tiffany said it, Queen Sugar.
That's what
appreciate
it. Where I got it from? That's
so, yeah.
It's actually a great one too. So now we're giving recommendations of black shows for anybody who's listening. If you're trying to bump up your black content, Queen Sugar's a good one that comes on.
You really want to stand on your Black Lives Matter podium and start watching some stuff.
Absolutely. And you know, and I was a little, I want to say turned off, maybe a little bit turned off. It seemed like Black Lives Matter was very much in vogue the past couple weeks. And there was been a lot of outlets and a lot of other, you know, individuals who seemed to be super pro-black everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, carve out space, which is great, right? I'd rather have them do that than do
nothing.
And putting out their, this is what we recommend. Leave it to us to recommend. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? It's Queen Sugar. There was another show. I think there's a couple of Tyler Perry shows that intrigue.
Which one?
They do intrigue. this is new one that he's coming out. What is it called? I see this sign every day I'm passing by.
The Oval and Sisters. Let me tell you, those get ratings because people love those. People love those. They do.
Yo, Tyler Perry, my man. This dude, God bless him.
Sisters is the one where what's his face? Though him and his wife have a podcast. Why can't I remember it? Kadeen and Duval. Duval, isn't he on Sisters?
I don't know. I feel like I'm about to land in a space of so many mid-level, but a space of trying to discover so much black talent. That's really where I'm coming to these shows. Mm-hmm. Because I think I want to be turned on. The same thing. Yo, my show last year, I'm still mad. I'm so mad that it's gone. Do you remember Love Is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yo.
No.
Tiffany, let me tell you something. Yo, this show, I was every episode, me and my wife, we just watching. You know, this was filling me up with such black joy. One, the trailer, I was replaying that trailer every day because it was so sensual.
Well, where can I watch it?
On demand.
Oh my God.
It's still on demand.
It's on demand now. Unfortunately, they canceled the series because of an issue with the creators, right? Because the show is based on, it's loosely based off, well, I'll say loosely, it's based off of the creator's marriage. And then, of course, my dude was found out to be, cheating on his wife for, 10 years. Yeah, it was so wacky.
Yeah.
It was so, so good. Will Catlett was in it. Oh, I forget my homegirl's name. It was really, really good. And it's, set in, the early 90s, I believe. Yo, it is really, really good. Love Is _.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
I watched it and I was like, wow, this is a true story. Gosh.
Yo.
But for me, so I don't find those type of things romantic, but I thought that I respect
I love serendipity. Anything is me. I love anything that's a serendipitous relationship.
Yeah.
I love that.
There was a lot in that. Okay, that's cool for you.
Say, Love and Basketball got ruined for me because I realized how messed up the ending was as an adult. And I used to love that movie. How he was engaged to somebody else and she came up and was I'm gonna play for your heart. And he was like, bet. And I was wow!
He always loved her. That's the thing. I'm not even a Love and Basketball fan, but he always loved her. So it's better that happened than for her to come play for his heart at the wedding and pull a different world type of thing.
Yo, that's still one of the most memorable episodes. I love you!
Let me tell anybody who is in love with me, anybody who might be in love with me, let me tell you right now, don't show up at my wedding like that because my bridesmaids are going to jump you.
Yes, you will. I will trip you coming up the aisle.
Don't do that. Yeah. You had your chance.
I swear.
You had your chance.
I really hope. What I want to have is another Kobe Toby and Black Girls Do Stuff crossover where we just reminisce on all the black TV and movies that we
can watch. I've been watching Fresh Prince on HBO now.
I watch Fresh Prince every day and I watch Martin every day. So I am down for it. I could do a whole Martin and Fresh Prince episode.
You can do that.
Podcast. I could do a whole podcast with just two shows.
Hey, end of the summer.
Yeah.
We are going to settle the debate. Well, I don't want to say we're going to settle the debate because I've heard that debate too much. What's better, Martin or
they
or
both
Fresh
have their
totally
merits.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's you know what? Okay, before we end, let me just say this. People who compare Empire to Power, stop doing that. Compare it to Nashville. they're similar shows. Yeah. Compare Power to like Boardwalk Empire. They're similar shows. Yeah. Stop comparing them just because they're black.
The black shows what and they're they big.
They don't even sing. They don't even sing.
You are right. Damn. Now I gotta finish Empire too. And I don't want
to. Don't do it. It's gonna make you mad. It made me so angry. I was like, I felt like I wasted my time. Stupid Tariq.
Oh my god.
Talking about Power, he said Empire.
Tariq, he and the fact this brother got his own show.
I'm
coming.
Mad about
are those
that.
Supposed to come out this summer?
They're supposed to be coming out. Wait, are those? Tariq show was supposed to be coming out this summer. Yeah.
Is it with Tariq or is it?
No, it's with
Tariq.
Mary
J. Blige is in one.
Is it the character? And the
Tariq
actor?
Got his own.
It's the character and the actor.
Okay.
So he got his own spinoff.
Okay.
And then Tommy has one.
Got his own spin.
Yeah, and then they're doing like a back in the day before Ghost was Ghost spin.
What, did they all Law and Order?
I guess. It's the biggest show that Starz has right now.
50 is doing everything.
Starz is trying to make sure they keep their subscription count up.
I don't know.
My star subscription just ended. I got that deal where it's like 6 months for $20. Yeah. So I'm waiting for another one to be able to see.
Come back.
But hey, you know, HBO is holding me down right now. Obviously, you know, it's the end of, you know, of season 4 of Insecure. Yep. We'll get it back the next year. We don't get anything black on HBO until...
The show that comes on after, what's it called? Because I watched it, and it's actually very good. It's the English show.
I am not you're not monster.
Oh no, the one with she looks like Estelle, but it's not Estelle.
Yeah. She had a Netflix musical. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I can't think of her name.
I've been interested in that. You
Why
know what?
Can I not? I will give it's that actually shot. Very I watched the second episode.
I've heard some interesting things about it.
And I've been meaning to go back and watch the first episode again.
I am not
Yes,
here,
so it's something like that.
Yeah, it is cool. All right, so I'll be able to watch that. There's also that Lovecraft Country.
Yes, and I'm
Journey Smollett Bell and Will May and Jonathan Majors is in it.
Is that coming on HBO or HBO Max? Because y'all know I refuse to get HBO Max.
Well, if you have an HBO subscription, you have it's HBO coming. Now. All you have to do is sign in with your cable subscriber, and you have HBO now. Because I didn't pay for it.
Not HBO Max, because I won't buy that.
Wait.
Why not?
It's HBO Max. Well, no, HBO Max, you have it. Which one is the one that has Fresh Prince? Because I have that one.
HBO Max.
You have that if you have a cable subscription. They changed that. If you already pay for HBO through cable.
Some cable.
So I have Verizon, and Verizon works through it.
It probably is. Xfinity, Verizon did Xfinity don't give you nothing.
Okay, Xfinity, unfortunately, Xfinity did not
give you anything. I knew that. And I refuse to pay for it because I'm tired of networks coming out with streaming services. Like, I already pay cable. I pay you $9.99 a month. And that's okay. If I miss out, I miss out. Y'all know how to get me to buy something. I bought Apple TV for one person, okay?
This is true. I'm sure he'll have a show on HBO soon because, you know, everybody's trying to get on HBO.
Tell you, he comes to HBO, I'll be front and center.
There you go.
He's going to be in a
new
tell
everybody
show.
Front and center, if you can for me, ladies. Where can the folks find you and what you guys got next for Black Girls Do Stuff 2, the pod, the channel, everything?
Yeah. Okay. So Black Girls Do Stuff 2, as Colby told you guys earlier on Twitter, we're the most active. It's BLK Girls Do Stuff. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else for Black Girls Do Stuff 2. I'm trying to be more consistent. We're getting our Instagram together. I'm doing a lot more stories though, where I do live watches and our Instagram stories, and those are pretty funny. And then we have our website where we're doing more writing content, and YouTube where we do video content as well. And then next episodes on the pod, we're covering some new shows that have come out. We have a new MCU series that's coming through the entire MCU and talking about it.
From
I'm going
to get
our grievances about characters that have
we always have grievances about.
Right.
It's the same
get
one.
Them, get your Chris Evans gifts ready, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I didn't want to say it. Thank you, Kobe. And that's where you can find us. And our podcast, of course, is Black Girls Do Stuff 2. And you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yep.
Perfect. Yo, y'all have been amazing. Thanks so much for rocking the mic with me.
Thank you for having us.
This is great. Debra, I like doing my solo pod, but I definitely have a lot more fun when I have some great and colorful conversations, especially with two beautiful ladies like yourselves. Once again, thanks so much for being able to be with me. Can't wait to have you back in the future, whenever that is. And for everybody else, yo, you already know what it is. Follow me on all the socials at Kobe Told Me on Twitter, Instagram, on Facebook, at Kobe Mac. And remember, when they ask you where you heard it from, just tell them Kobe told me. Peace.